Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, is back with you again for another live episode. We are extremely grateful for Pastor Ricky Waller and his kind nature to sit in for us for the last two episodes this past week, Tuesday and Thursday. As you know, we are in a campaign running IM for state senate in Tennessee. And Pastor Wall has been nothing short of a tool. We appreciate him. And I hope you guys enjoyed yourself. I got a chance to listen to some of the conversation there relative to how do you use athletics to inspire, to uplift, motivate, encourage young people in urban America. And I hope and pray that somebody got something from that conversation. With Mike, okay. We are grateful for all of you who have been participating and continue to do so. I want you to know that you got the microphone tonight. You bring the conversation up, we talk about it. No holds barred, okay? And I'm happy to engage you, our listening audience, and again, this conversation. We'll likely possibly pick this up again on Thursday, where you have an opportunity to share some of your ideas. But we're grateful that, again, each of you have joined us. This is Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I hope to have Pastor Waller to tune in with us tonight there. I've been running kind of crazy, and I hadn't really touched base with him a whole lot, but I hope we'll be able to catch up with each other again there. And tell your friends and families now. Share this live stream post with your friends and family. Tune in to Talk Straight. Then, the mic is open. Share with me what's on your mind. There's been a lot going on, certainly right here in Nashville. Our hearts go out to the young man who lost his life this past week, engaged in a police-involved shooting. And, you know, these are very tense moments. Emotions are high and things of that nature, and I fully understand that. First and foremost, I believe we ought to send our prayers, comfort, and encouragement to young men's family. As difficult as it is to remain faithful and trust God, He's able to bring us through even these terrible times. I know that sounds easier said than done. Anyway, I want to encourage that. That's an encouragement. But outside of that, we've had some other issues in some of the other target cities that we've been focusing on over the last couple of years. And when we began our seminar lecture tour, you know, we've had conversation out of Chicago, out of Frankfurt, Columbus, Mississippi. We've had some other areas as well. And we hope to be able to engage on that line. So we're grateful again that you join us. This is Talk Straight. The mic is open. And it looked like I got my very, very good friend out of Selma, Alabama. The first, you got the microphone, so you don't need no spaceship to take you home because you got the microphone. Welcome to Talk Straight. How you doing, Don?
Doing good. I just got off with one of my friends on the other radio program down here, and Mr. Dockery, we in the middle of the same thing we was in 1965, but it's a new tactic. You know, as they always say, the game stay the same, but only the players.
Okay.
So that's what's going on. I was going to tell you where I worked at the other day. I was on the radio with your guys last week, and somebody accused me something, Mr. Dockery. And as they was accusing me, I was and he called and he told me something happened at the store, and I called back and I said it couldn't happen because I was across the street from the raceway in the washer with the door locked, talking on the radio with my friends in Nashville. And what it is, Mr. Dockery, they trying to set me up down here, Mr. Dockery, and I'm going to be very honest with you. The young mayor in there, Dario, brought a guy named Spencer Collier from up there in Montgomery with him, and him and the last governor here was in conflict. And the new governor, I know y'all heard her making her, advocating for the to keep the Confederate monuments. And what I was going to say to you, Randy, we back where we was in 65. You know, they had Jim Clark, then they had Cotton Nichols, and then they got Huffman, and we got a new guy coming in, Grantham, I guess that's the way you pronounce his name. But you got the operation this morning when I went to Raceway. You had a bunch of police officers in a pack, and they're going around to the neighborhood doing drug busts. And you know I got Mr. LaRouche and them information on my phone down here. All right? And the information that they're seeing is political economics and the American Revolution. And you know the book he also printed, Dope Inc. So, you know what I'm saying? The ball is in our court, and it's how we operate. Are we going to educate our children, or are we going to let them miseducate our children? It's up to us now.
Yes, yes. Don, I got Pastor Waller on. Welcome, Pastor, to the show.
All right, Pastor.
You need no introduction. We only present you to others. Let me stop and thank you again. I believe in giving people their flowers while they can appreciate them. Thank you, man, for doing an excellent job of sitting in for us the past week. This is Brother Don out of Strong, Alabama, with us tonight. And he was telling me about some things that are going on in his city right now. Pastor, you may have heard a little bit of his conversation there. But Don, let me ask you, Don, what do you think it means to be independent, Don?
Mr. Dockery, I'm 58, and I've been here since, you know, you brought me down here and brought my books down here. And guess what? My books are scattered around. But I was going to say to you, Mr. Dockery, I'm going on 58, and I've been in this process since I got out of the Navy in 1980. And I wouldn't know what it would really – well, I said the closest thing I probably experienced of African-Americans being independent was my granddaddy. Because,
okay,
you know, Mr. Farrakhan's definition of economic freedom is land. And
okay,
can I tell you and the Reverend both, that's a beautiful thing. To be on a farm and watch some African-American men break land and plant on that land and live off of it economically – man, that's a beautiful thing.
I see. What do you think about that, Pat?
It's encouraging. I mean, when you say something about something that's beneficial, you know, it's always encouraging to hear, you know, things that you can benefit from. And if you know, he just shared with you how you brought him to the place that he is now. I mean, and, you know, when you grow up and live and learn, man, I think that experience is something that I'm not very, very aware of how things was back then because of course, you know, not being able to be head to be lifted up. My head was always down, so I didn't get a chance to get a lot of the knowledge that I'm pretty sure that I would have, but I thank God for today that the changeable things is something to be changed, especially if it's a need for it. And I think we have to always strive to make a difference for our communities, and you know, and through togetherness we can do that.
It
so
can
knowledge
happen.
Is king. Yeah,
yeah,
knowledge is
gentlemen,
king, man.
Gentlemen, we got a pretty lady joining us out of Peoria,
praise
Illinois.
God.
8112. That's your
lady.
That's your lady, Pastor.
Well,
that's your lady.
I know that lady. Yeah, I know that special lady.
Hey,
I know that special lady.
Mama D, how
hey,
you
how you guys doing tonight? God bless y'all all.
All right.
Great,
God bless
great,
you.
Great, great, great.
Once again.
Glad to be back with you. I know Pastor Wallace took care of you guys, but I missed you guys last week. I was out being beat up.
Oh, we tried to take care of him, too, now.
All right.
All right, we did it. He done a very good
great.
Great. He's done a very nice job. Great. How's
you
guys? I got to answer this other line, though. You guys continue, and I'll come back in a minute. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So, Don, you made a good point, man. And you said the idea of owning something for yourself. Did I hear that right, Don?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How do you do that, Don, when you start with zero?
Mr. Darkery, that's the mechanism I'm trying to figure out now right here in Selma. You know, I seen the game that they played with this at this African-American radio station about getting these folk. They filed a lawsuit to get them some money, to get them farm money. But then when they got them the money, the folks didn't know what to do with the money. But I went over to the Federal Land Bank, like I said, and I got that loan package. If you had a community that had a bunch of young boys taking them through that process and then educating them young men how to maintain these farms, you know, like I, and I'm going to say this, maintaining farms from an organic produce standpoint of view, and for them to be economically independent on that, that's a beautiful thing if you can get that to happen.
Sure. So, now, you make another great point, my friend, and it's just conversation. Have you thought about how we can move from conversation to action to actually put that into effect? Now, interesting, Don, people got to want to do it, man.
You're right. And then you got to have the passion and the love for it.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about your farming experience, because I know your granddad taught you farming and your family did that in Dixon, Tennessee. Do you think there's hope today, Don, that this is Open Mic, by the way, if you're just tuning in, you listen to Talk Straight. Tonight we have an open mic discussion, so you bring it up, we talk about it. And so we got Brother Don out of Selma and Pastor Ricky Waller and Mama D out of Peoria, Illinois, on with us tonight. And Don was just telling, Don, do you think there's hope that we can take some of the young people out of the dope game and the gang banking and actually plant them back in the fields for agricultural distribution and wealth and things of that nature? Is there any hope for that, Don?
Mr. Dockery, just where I'm sitting now, I was across the street helping the guy set up the Nation of Islam. Was one guy in there is kind of, how can you say, he's economically for self. And so I end up over here with Freddie and his stepfather, Junior. And would you believe, Mr. Darkwood, when I entered this room with this man where I'm at now, when I got in the room, he looked at me and said, and we got to talking about the voting rights. And he said, Don, I was out in Minner. I wasn't fighting for voting rights. And he said, one of the guys came to me and said, were you marching with them folks? He said, no, I was working on the farm. So you see how God is, Mr. Darkwood, and me being here now and the son, the oldest son of who I am, I would never imagine that God would have took me from out of the Navy in a situation, took me to Cleveland to do organic food farming, who my grandfather raised tobacco. And then from there, I went over with my father when Jesse ran for president, ran for Congress on the Republican ticket. And then to go through another process with him, and we've seen Obama spin out of that process. And to be here right now, he's dead and gone, Mama's dead and gone, and to see what I'm seeing now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, it's like God,
yeah.
You know.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
It's deep. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a lesson that perhaps somebody can learn from. I got my friend Outcast on with me from Nashville. How you doing, my friend?
Good, good. Yeah, I'm here.
Good. This is a straight open mic night tonight, Outcast. So ain't no bar, no
right.
Holds barred. Just throw some blows. Go for blows.
Right, then. Okay.
Uh-oh, he's ready, Pastor. He's ready.
No, go ahead.
We don't have a I don't have a monologue, and we don't have a formal topic. We're just kind of talking right now. I think we had a pretty good discussion last time we did this. So, we're just opening them. Any question or comment?
I would, you know, like my comment is this, when it comes to voting, you know, the field, the playing field is not level. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is this, you know, amendments, you know what I'm saying? Amending. Well, okay, the government, well, let's say amending. I want you to just think about amendments, you know.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
If everyone has the right to vote, no one should have came in and made an amendment stating that if you are a felon, you are not allowed to vote.
Oh, I see.
You know, the playing field is not level. It's not level at all. But, you know, Papa Wayne, you know, he going to get you one way or the other. You know, he's going to get you one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Yeah.
It's not only the white man now. You know, Papa Wayne, you know what I'm saying? He running across
the board. He come in different colors, huh?
Yes. You know, I mean, the playing field is not level. It is not level at all.
Can I say something to you, man? Last week,
yes,
you
sir.
Know, I was out politicking, and I was on a couple
right.
of panels, and some of the questions they were throwing at me, Outcast, I'm going to be honest, I had to scratch my head, man. what was clear to me, Pastor Waller? Either a lot of people don't have a basic civic understanding of how society and government work, or somebody just being dishonest. I want to think the best in people, Outcast. So I'm trying to figure out where these questions are coming from, man. And maybe was it just me, Outcast, does it seem like people are so backwards? I mean, you understand what I mean?
Well, yes, I do. But it goes, the old adjective is, no question is a dumb question.
Well, that's true. Now that's right. That's right. That's right.
Closed mouth don't get fed.
Right. Right.
Give me an example.
Let me tell you let me tell you. I was gonna say it, but okay. Have you heard of the zero tolerance with the school zone? Are y'all familiar with
right.
that? So it's where it doesn't matter if you come into the 100 feet of a school with drugs or guns. You're going to get the same sense if you automatically going, there's no second questions about it, right? Call it zero tolerance. Well, gentlemen say
right.
they don't think that's fair. And they ask the question, would I as a legislator support legislation that will get rid of it? Well, they just passed the legislation. So I'm going to ask you the question that I asked them. I'm going to ask y'all the question. And y'all help me with this like I'm 3 years old. Okay. The spirit of the law is to keep the schools safe from the situation that happened in real life where people went on the school to transact drugs, got into a gunfight with one another, and innocent people, children, were harmed, or at least at harm, at threat of harm. That's why they came up with the law. They wanted to stop that. So if it were me, I took a gun and drugs on the school ground. What should they do to me if I had no regard for the safety of the children or society? What should they do with me, guys?
take you out of Congress or whatever you senator.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily running for office. I'm saying I'm just a Joe Blow that goes on, that violates that zero tolerance. Should they not follow the letter of the law as it written, or what should they do? Give me a break or what?
Not at all. Why would they give you a break? And you disobeyed.
Well, because they said I'm black.
Okay.
Because they said black people give.
That's the reason why they won't give you a break.
Okay.
One of them. That's one of them.
Okay.
But as an individual and a human being, I can't see why they would give anyone a break when innocent children are involved. There are no breaks. The breaks are supposed to keep them safe because we put our children in their custody for at least 8 hours of the day.
Yes, ma'am.
CIA,
yes,
VIA,
ma'am.
Whether they be young, babies,
right.
Middle school and high school and even college.
Right.
We put
right.
our children in their hands to keep them safe from harm. We raise some of them, those ones that made it as far as that, not
yeah.
to be in harm's way. So somebody taught them something. You need your education, and they're trying to
right.
do the right thing. Why should they
That's
go
right.
to a frat party and get murdered? Why
mm.
should certain things happen to these young folks, and they not even participating outside of being a young person?
Right, right.
And
well, you know what the argument
around
I'm sorry.
Locking it out? No, I don't think that's right.
You know what the argument was? Too many blacks have got caught up by that law and are going to jail for it. Now,
what?
What's behind that? What's behind that outcast? You there? Pastor Wally, you done? No, let me done. You there, Don?
Mm-hmm.
What's behind that, Don? The idea that too many blacks are getting caught up with that zero tolerance penalty.
Mr. Docker, I think what's behind that the brothers really don't want to be responsible. You know, it's when you say what you're saying to me, I've been way to Chicago in the Morris Divine National Movement, and I wasn't from Chicago area. You know what I'm saying? I came from Tennessee, went up there, but I went there to learn. And when I got there to learn, I wanted to go get some of the brothers. And the brother looked at me and said, no, don't go get them because they can knock on the door and come learn. So it's to me, it's I don't know if our people ain't hungering to learn or they don't care. You know, you remember I told you what my dad said when Jesse ran for president, he did the sermon, Let Us Make Man. I believe they just don't give them. That's what I think.
Okay.
Because
hey,
you have
you
children,
wrong.
If you have sex and have children, you should be responsible.
I think you're wrong, sir. I'm going to interrupt you now. Because there's a whole lot of, as you call them, black brothers that do give up. And guess what? It's some of them, like you, yourself speaking down, but you speak. You're trying to protect them, but you're not. Because how can you protect them when they're listening to you speak against them? You can't do both of them.
Hold on, 8112.
Excuse
I don't
me,
think
I'm...
Don. I don't think Don was
I
saying
am very
that.
Well, he sounds angry to me all the time, so I don't know.
That's okay,
yes,
but
my
this,
age.
All right, hold on. All right, hold on one
I'm
second.
Back.
I don't
got a
think
question,
he was.
But I'll be back.
Huh?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, all right. Oh, yeah, can you hear me? 8112. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on one second. I was trying to explain. I was listening to Don, and I think everyone else was. I didn't hear him saying that everybody was this way, but he was saying that there are many people who are not interested in coming out and learning how to improve themselves. Do you think that's wrong? That's not true? Do you think he's incorrect about that?
I think that's kind of put it on the scale and weigh it out. I think there's...
Okay.
I think it's almost equal. I don't think we can compare this by numbers because a lot of times the very people you think are what they are not. They're in the closet hiding because they perpetrating a fraud. They're making you think they one person and they somebody else. And then people you think is one person are actually the ones you need to be that will speak up and out and are trying to do good. So I don't think you can put a label on anyone if you have not walked a mile in their shoes. And if you start planting a crop, I was taught how to plant a crop. I'll plant a crop right now and watch it nourish and grow. And that's what we have to do with our children, and that's what I think.
Catch. Okay. Now, Pastor Waller, did you hear that conversation?
Yeah, I did.
Will you respond to that, please? What do you think about that? Where are we at with that? I mean,
Well, the whole concept about the zero tolerance concerning the school zone, who was it planned for? You know, there's motives behind anything that's been put in perspective. You put something in motion, and when you go to the table and you come up with an opportunity to say, okay, now what is the motive? How can we best utilize the continuation of the drug system, if you will? And if drugs is going to control people, if it's going to bring forth dividends, finances, riches, and then you put it in a neighborhood and with people don't know nothing about nothing, but now finding out how to use and sell drugs. And so if you ride down the street, you don't have to make a sale on the property. You can just pass and buy at a store and don't pull over until you get by the location of a school. And it's called school zone. So I look at the situation is, what is the motive? Why was this put in motion? And who was it planned for? And you say a lot of blacks have caught up in it. Okay, so that might have been the plan. That's why they said they wanted to get rid of it. Now, in the midst of it all, though, I would believe for them to put a law in such as that, what about put a law in to intercept it before it get to the school zone where the drugs won't even be in the community, period? That's the way you get it. You bring forth a law, and you know that the law was given but never obeyed. So now you're finding ways and means to get and capture the ones in whom you plan to stop by the school zone law. I don't know if that's accurate to say. I'm just going on my experience. I'm just so glad in my come up during the time that I was using and selling drugs, I was in the real deep. And so there was no such thing as a school law. I mean, as a, to have that kind of law has to do
it's
with
fairly
school.
New.
And,
it's fairly new.
Where did it come from? Why did that law even come in existence? It would be my question. And what was the purpose of it? So why is it now, since it came in to play, that so many blacks have been caught up in it? That was a motive with that. So I'm just trying to see how we can get it stripped.
But
we can get it stripped from our community, period. Like, if that means that ain't no school zone, ain't no zone in the community, nowhere. Y'all know how to get the drugs out of it. Just do that.
Yeah.
And that's what you say.
But may I?
I want to respond. Let me hear from 8112 right quick. Was that you, Alcat?
I'm sorry.
No, that was 12. Let us speak.
Okay, go ahead, 8112. What were you going to say?
I was about to say that, in the first place, if you think about it, and I'm sure you guys are all intelligent, you guys all know about these. Some things I don't know about, but I know about this. If you look at the ones running up in the school, shooting all their classmates, or all the people that bullied them, and some of them ain't had nothing to do with a doggone thing.
Right.
First of all, how did they get through all this so-called security? Second of all, if you hunt one person, catch them on the street. Third of all, where they getting these big-time weapons from to knock out 20 people at one time? Most of the young black guys, as you call them, don't have all this high-powerful stuff. And if they get it, they get it off the street. And when they get it off the street, where the hell is it coming from? Half of them ain't got $2 to rub together, even selling drugs.
Now, can I say something, 8112?
Please, be my guest. I need to know
the
this.
The easiest way to get a gun is to purchase it off the black market. And they come really dirt cheap.
And where black market starts from?
Huh?
Where did black market start from?
Look here, this is Talk Straight. Don't make me talk straight on you now.
Talk straight on me right now. I like it when you're talking straight.
All right. You like it like that. All right. So here's one of the things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
you have these people that have gun license to sell guns, right? And
yes,
we've had a rash of them here in Nashville where their stores are broken into.
Okay.
Okay? And when the weapons are stolen, they're brought out on the street and sold in the black market. Well, the store owner oftentimes, more often than not, have insurance, so they're compensated for their loss. They replace the gun.
And don't worry about it.
Listen to me. But yet those guns that were stolen are now on the black, on the street.
Okay.
They're dirt cheap. Now, watch this. Watch this. If there was such a law that held those store owners more accountable,
mm-hmm.
I bet you. Because something tells me that perhaps some of them are involved in some sort of scam. It's an inside job.
Wow, you just asked my question. You ain't got to say no more to me.
Well, I told you I'm going to talk straight now.
Straight, you asked my question. I had a question. You answered.
What I want to know is, why is it your store always getting broken into, and why you can't do something a little different? You understand what I'm saying? Make me wonder if this is an inside job, if this is an insurance scam.
A lot of them are.
Now, we just keep it real now. That's all we're doing, is keeping it real tonight. We talking straight.
Okay, I ain't mad at
you. Now, watch this. Now, let me go and talk straight again. If a brother don't want to get caught up, Don, in the criminal justice system, in the jail and what have you, don't do nothing illegal.
That's right.
That's a good start.
That's a good start.
If you don't want to become caught up in the zero tolerance thing or with the school zone, do not carry your behind over there with a gun and drugs.
That's right.
Who is set up for people who disregard the letter of the law. The aim is to keep those babies safe. I don't want you on no school zone with that mess.
That's right.
I don't want you with it at all, but at least don't take around my children.
That's right.
Because if I went and put my hands on you, what they going to do to me, Outcast?
You already know.
They're going to put me in jail.
If they don't
watch out, 8112. That's why we have law enforcement to take care of that for us.
Right. And see, you know, like since we on this issue here, too, concerning school zones and things of that nature, you know, sex offenders, you know what I'm saying, they are not allowed to live in certain parts of the school zone. You know, I think now they can't even go to public parks and things of that nature. And it's not only targeted at the blacks, it's targeted
every
nationality of people that, you know, that have some type of sex charge. You know, basically, a lot of times, you know, we want to characterize things by race. You know, driving wild black, driving wild Hispanic. Man, look, you know, they fighting a lot of law here. They catch a lot of them criminals riding around in cars. You know, I mean, you know, every time you turn around, you know, like a lot of people, you know, the first thing they want to do is make it a racial thing. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I mean, they do what they do. Now, they can have a
Mr.
charge. And...
Go ahead. Hold on.
No,
were you done, Outcast? Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. Let Don go.
What happened when? Okay. We just had an election here. A sheriff. Good old boy.
Yeah.
And everybody around here loved the way he smiled. And guess what? 77% of the children, 77% of the people in Dallas County is African-American. What happened when you got people that don't want to come out and educate their children? The information is there for them to educate their children. They can do it collectively, and they don't. What is that?
Well, so that's a people problem, right, Don? Right? You can't.
I don't understand it. You have sex and you have children, but you don't want to educate your children, but you want to entertain yourself at night.
Wait a minute. It's a whole lot of kids have children and don't know no doggone better, sir.
Well, hey, 8112.
They have not been educated. Who going to educate them? You?
Well, hey, Don. I mean, 8112. We have to teach our children not to do that. That's irresponsible.
I'm going to shut up. My point is there's a lot of children having children fun doing it and don't know the responsibilities nor the repercussions behind it or in front of it.
So let's teach them, Pastor.
Yeah, they probably do, but it ain't happened in a long time. People have been having kids since 1800s.
8112, I got a suggestion. What if
I don't need somebody?
I'm not talking about you now, darling. We're talking about these children that are having these babies irresponsibly, having fun doing it, as you said. Listen to me. What if the church, the politicians, the business people, and the parents put their heads together to stop the babies from making these babies irresponsible? Would that help?
What if I was the fish, we all be drunk? What if we listen to our parents? We are rebellious and teenagers and don't have been taught better. I had a baby young, and I was taught better. But believe this, teenagers and young folks do what they do, and they always have. And if you can rebel against your parents, not even think that's what you're doing, even though you've been raised in church. Some of the church children are the worst one doing what they do. Because they get so tied down and locked up. I'm going to keep it 100, yes. You talk about real talk. This is real talk for you. Some of them are the worst ones because they feel restricted.
Yeah.
You ain't finna do this. You can't do that. They can't even come to their parents, some of them, when they got a problem. Because they busy solving everybody else's problem. And if they know their father or their mother, they don't take the time out, some of them. And usually the mama cares back in my day, it falls up on her. If the daddy act like he don't know you or he choose to not be able to deal with you for whatever the reasons may be, the mama, if she cares, she's going to stand by her child and try to raise them the best way she know how, even if her way may not be 100% positive for that child. That particular child could have been worked for all the rest of them. Everybody ain't the same, baby. We are not the same.
Can I say something?
Yes, you may.
Look here. Do you know who the police, who the judge and the jury were for my children?
I'm not being personal.
What I'm trying to get you to see is, this is what Don's point is. When you make up in your mind that you want to do something, you're going to do that. One thing I love about my people is, ain't nothing you can do to stop them if they want to do something, okay? Nothing.
I know that's
ain't
right.
Nothing you can do to stop if they want to do it.
And
now, watch this. Wait a minute, 812. I'm going to be quiet in a minute, 812, because this is your time. You got the microphone. But let me finish in line. Let me turn it line right quick. Look here. The truth is what determines what they want to do is what you teach them at home when they come out the womb. That's what the Bible meant when it said train up a child. It didn't say in any way, in some way, or a suggested way. It said in the way. That's an article. That means one. In the exact way they should go. And when they get old, they ain't going to turn from that. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're doing wrong? Even when it comes to making babies. I wish I had a prayer in church at night, because ain't nobody, I can't hear, I'm down in the mountain, I can't hear nobody praying.
Oh, yeah, you got some church up in here, but guess what? Up is on the way. Here I go.
Let me see what Pastor Wallace thinks about that. What do you think about that,
Brother Pastor? Well, I mean, I'm sitting back, man, just receiving and embracing what I'm hearing, and I still have to realize, you know, there's an order that's been put in motion, and then when you go through the process, and then you're having babies, and the babies come out, and you do the best you can, but then I always look back at not knowing versus knowing. Now that I'm familiar with the scripture, that you can't train up a child in the way that it should go. Then it goes on what I heard, something about that judgment was God at the would come back at the end at the house of God. That tells me right there that the ones who have this real genuine information, just in case the babies are having babies, they really don't, the people in the church should have the most important information. It's called the Bible, right? Now, that's
okay,
why
okay.
I come up in the church. I didn't grow up going to church because my mother didn't do that. But I still say that when I went, I found out in the Bible, you know, some really unique things. Like it says, and they continue to say that. If I open the book up right now and look in it, and if you look in your book, it'll probably say the same thing. It says, go out into the world and preach the gospel. And it didn't say to some people. It said to every creature. That sounds
that's
like
right.
No one to be excluded. So if that's the
case,
right. And it stands for, and a person in the church would do that, then you may see a greater change than you can see when it comes down to the mom and daddy bringing up the baby, and if the mom and dad is not there, it's just the parent, one parent is there. You know, however many is there, sometimes people rebel against the order. You understand? And that means that not going sometimes, you know what I mean? Because the pressure of being out, well, why they didn't tell me that they had this kind of fun? Why my mom and dad don't want me to have this kind of fun? My friends have been enjoying themselves, and there you go. You know, you're spilled out of your parents' instruction, and you didn't do it because you wanted to rebel, but just so happened, like what they were doing outside the house, you know? And that's what the trap is, you see? But if you stayed up under the leadership of your parents, as you said, Pastor Doctor, I mean, you get great instruction like you've been laying down for some time, brother. I mean, you laid it down, and just think, if we have more like that, that would be able to instruct the kids and they follow the instructions, like your kids are very obedient to your instructions, man. I mean, even at the age that they are right now, that's powerful, that, brother.
Here's the point. But, preacher, I agree with you. Here's the thing, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not right just because I said it, but there is a way our children can be successful. We've got to stop discipline and order. I'm talking about Negro, black, and color folk right now. I'm going to talk straight about me and mine. We got to stop fighting against the idea that you can't do whatever you want to when you feel like it how you want to. That dog will not hunt.
Is that
That's
how wrong. You was raised? That's how I was raised.
I wasn't raised like that.
You wasn't?
I wasn't raised to do whatever I want to when I get. Not when my daddy was in the house.
That's what I said. My mama was in my house, and I wasn't raised like that either. Well, you can do what you want when you get ready, how you want to. No, it don't work like
that. I'm speaking about those people who are raised like that. And the truth of the matter is they have no proper rearing. That's why they're like that. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm saying as a culture, I'm saying within the Afro-American subculture, we have the responsibility and the duty to teach our people and the greatest authority in the African-American community is the black church, church. So the black church needs to be about the business of teaching these social and moral directives and principles so that people's lives can come out a lot more successful than what they are. I'm a preacher now. I've been a pastor for the last 22 years now.
Yes, sir. I respect you.
I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know right now.
I respect you very highly, and I'm not going about that, but you also said it's real talk. That means I have a voice as well as you, with all due respect, Pastor.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't slap my face.
Absolutely. You got to go and talk to me. Tell me what you got. Shoot it to me. Listen to what a writer out of Chicago said. Parents seem to be afraid of children these days.
Guess what?
Children, watch this. They go on further to say the children ain't scared of nothing. Or nobody.
No,
the parents are scared of them, and the children ain't scared of nothing. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that picture, somebody?
It's a problem. Oh, shit.
Now, look here. Ain't nowhere in the world, 8112, no little rascal going to grow up in my house, eat my food, and going to tell me what to do.
Ooh.
That dog ain't going to hunt.
How you doing? That dog going to get A for dinner.
Don't know it.
That dog will get A for dinner. In my house, he's
you know
A
what?
Dinner.
Go ahead.
You know
that.
What I was afraid of?
What's that?
Even though I was rebellious. But you know what I was actually afraid of?
Yeah.
It wasn't
that?
Police. It wasn't a dog down the street. It was that woman. You know, in all reality, I was afraid of her. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of time I said, well, I'd rather go on and get locked up and get this butt whooping anyway.
You ain't
that woman,
you
know?
it was
that woman. I was afraid of that woman, you know?
Mama, you ain't
lying. Hey, listen to me. You know, my mother been dead ever since 1980, but guess what? Even when I go to the cemetery, you know, she's dead. I still had that fear. And I think about her voice telling me, boy, this, that. The fear of that woman is still in me. Even though I was rebelling, and I was rebelling hard, it was the fear of that woman. So, therefore, I dismissed the fact that the dude stated that some children are not afraid of nothing. But I was afraid of my mother, honestly. Even though I was rebelling at the point that I was rebelling at, I was still afraid of that woman. That woman has been in the grave ever since 1980, and I still have that fear.
Okay, because you come to me.
But
now, part of the problem.
You need to write a book on that one.
Yeah, part of the problem, though, Outcast, I think you're right on it. Part of the problem today is that the media, and there are even public interest groups that are suggesting the children, they don't have to listen to their parents.
Ain't that
they're
the
independent.
Yeah, well,
I've heard of young people call themselves taking their parents to court and divorcing them. Now, wait a minute now. Hold on. Since when?
Yeah.
You better get over there in that corner and do that. Hey, you better get in that corner and do that homework and maybe eat a piece of bread or something and go to bed.
Yeah, who made that loan? Who made that law anyway that they can do that?
Uh-oh.
Who made that law to go there anyway?
Now, I'm going to tell you where it came from.
Who made that law?
Yeah.
Well,
but you can't spank them and whoop their behinds even as men's whooping their sons.
Now, hold on, 8112. I did a full seminar workshop on this. I actually invited the juvenile court judge here to come out to that one, and she agreed with me. It's not that the law says you can't discipline your children, but what happens after is many people have crossed the line of discipline and went into abuse.
That's
so ball your fist up and you hit a child like you hit the wrong person. That's abuse.
Yeah,
if you starve your child just because you're mad at them or you beat them because you're mad at somebody else, they daddy or they mama, that's abuse.
That's right.
You're
right, Pastor.
And if you wait, and watch this, if you wait till they get to be 12, 13, 14 years old before you try to correct them and they start want to go upside your head, then you have to whoop their behind. The law calls that abuse.
It is.
I tell you what. At the age of 13, look, I had got so many butt whippings until I got immune to them. You know what I'm saying? I got immune to them.
Yes, sir.
I had did something, and my mother was whooping me with a belt.
Mm-hmm.
I stood there folding my hands up. And when she was hitting me, I was looking her dead in her eyes. And you know what she did, don't you? Guess what she did? Can you imagine what she did to me?
She drew back and popped you again.
With that fist. With that fist.
Hit like a man.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Outcast.
And I deserve to be hit like that.
Well, Outcast, my mama had seven boys. And she broke every broom she had in the house, man. We couldn't keep a broom around the house.
That's right.
But
like at the end of the day, I do understand that certain things go to a level of abuse. You know, irregardless of what I did, my mother still fed me. She clothed me.
Right.
You know, if she was having a problem with someone else, this did not drip down on us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I do agree with the Reverend Doctor with saying a lot of people just took it to the next level, you know.
We got to put it
with bed flats, suspension cords, switches, anything that they got their hands on. I appreciate it. But in today's time, the government has intervened in something.
But I'm with you, big brother. I'm with you. It's a two-pronged problem, though. Yes, the government intervened because they have had to, because too many people, maybe they didn't know any better, 8112. Maybe they didn't know any better. But
they knew better.
You know,
they knew they were about beating them upside their head.
Well, wait a minute now. I mean,
I'm
14 now. I'm musting. I smell my own funk. And you can't tell me what to do. And you ain't never
five sons. And I whooped their behind. I almost cussed again. I ain't going to do that. I'll
just, don't cuss.
I raised
don't
five
cuss
of them. And I threatened them with inch of their life. If you hit me, I'm going to kill you. I didn't literally mean, but they laughed with their mind. I'm kind of slowed
over.
And I tell them, if you hit me, I'm not going to whoop your A. I'm going to kill you. And but
wow.
I had to put that fear in them. Like God,
sure.
But we supposed to have fear of our Father, but not to the point where we're scared to talk to Him. In other words,
but,
I didn't
love my children.
I love my children, but I raised my children.
Sure,
I thank God for Jesus. They turned out to be the wonderful people that they are.
8112, watch this. All I'm saying, and this is back to Don's point, is if you know on the front end. That these values, these instructions need to be there. You will even have to worry about threatening your children or putting your hands on them.
Yes, you do.
You see what I mean?
Yes, you
do. Huh?
Yes, you do. Because
what?
You don't. And days have changed since we were children. If
that's
you don't, even when we became teenagers ourselves and our moms
and
dads, for those of us that had both of them, and some people say, oh, well, the parents' children are good children. They be some of the demonized people in the world.
<That's>
they don't get away with it because they're the parents.
Yeah,
but
that,
then
not
again,
everybody.
Maybe I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Okay.
Some kids that was raised with one mom, maybe one
daddy. That's true.
And they taught them about discipline, if that's what you guys speak about, and how to respect. And when you teach them how to respect, what I've learned is, and some of them, you got one in every crowd, in every family. I don't care who gave what birth to who.
Sure.
Because all they know, this is the closest person to me, and I'm going to take my anger out. The best way I know how, because I know they will forgive me as God forgive all of us.
Yeah.
Many times during the message.
Point. You make a good point. All I'm saying is there's a prescription for success. And there was a time before the dismantling in the 70s of the black family that this prescription worked for us. Andrew Billingsley and Carol McAdoo wrote a They co-authored a book talking about the black family in America, did an excellent job of demonstrating how certain laws and policies broke down the dichotomy of the family and caused children to grow up in some of the worst situations. We've got to get back to that, even if we have to rewrite laws to restructure that security and structure for the family. Not just black people, white folks too, but certainly black folks is a victim of this circumstance.
This is why children are the way that they are now. If you tell your child you're gonna whip them, you know they say, "I'm gonna call the police." I had a daughter like that, and then you know what I told them?
What's that?
I said, okay, I'm gonna whoop you, and I'm gonna give you that phone, and you go right ahead and call the police.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? That law within itself has went too far, and I do agree with you, Reverend Doctor, 100%. They need to revise that. They need to get rid of that. Now, when you go into the point of abusing them, I'm talking about just taking a stick and just beating them to death.
Right.
That has gone too far, and if I'm firing you, this is what you're saying. It's a way to discipline. You know, even the Bible talks about, you know, don't spare the rod, But the thing is this. They have taken that law and they have went too far. And then they talk about why children not, why they're doing what they're doing today. This is why. Because if you put your hands on me, I'm going to call the police on you.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
But I was like you, sir. I said, when you call them, what you going to do then? They're going to throw you in a foster home with some strength, maybe molest you or any dog on me. So go ahead, call the po-po.
Yeah.
I sound like
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Don.
You made a good point about the. I was going back to what you was talking about, how that these individuals wrote that book, and what clicked in my mind was when Dr. King got assassinated, here comes Soul Train. And when I think of that, and I got to go back to it. My father had a problem with Isaac Hayes and that incident with Dr. King down there in Memphis. And like you said, then here comes Soul Train.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And then we get what? You see what I'm saying?
You didn't like Don Cornelius, man. What?
I love that man.
Don Cornelius was hooked in with Jesse's network, and Jesse's network was hooked in with Dr. King's assassination. So when you see that dynamic now, and we got what we got today. Look what we got today.
Exactly.
So are you saying that it was another way of reprogramming the minds of black folk after Dr. King's message failed, and now we're just in a whirlwind of whatever? That what you said Soul Train did?
Sister told me the other day that once you cut off the head, the body just gets to jiggling.
What?
So the head will cut off, so look at the
around.
Body.
Wow. You are true.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, you
see
them regular chicken necks. Take the head off, Bobby, just running around.
Cut
blue, shoot me
head off. He going to wiggle around. What the hell?
Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. Man. Well, okay. Now, we done, listen, y'all done talk straight, and y'all done put the bad stuff out there. Help me, get me out of this hole now. Get me off the cross. I'm on the cross. Y'all help me get down. What we going to do? Come on, Pastor Wilder, help me out,
well,
man. Get me down off this
well,
cross.
Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, here's what I've done. I've reared my raised. I'm just going to go ahead and say raised. I don't just like to use the word raised. But I'm going to go, listen, when it comes to me,
okay.
I raised mine. They went to school. You know, they got their schooling and things of that nature. But as far as they want to go, if they want to go to college, they can go to college. It is not it was not my children that was out in the streets being destructive and things of that nature. It was someone else's children. The thing is this, how, again, we've discussed this more than one time, how do we reach these people, you know,
now,
the children
now.
Are being destructive?
That's right.
That's the question.
What
can we do to help them?
That's a great question, and I really believe this, for Brother Alcott. There are good people who are struggling with these issues that we're talking about, and if they really had someone to be firm, fair, and consistent with them about the need for change, they would do it. But you know what has happened, Pastor Waller? You know what's happened, Pastor Waller? Too many of the brethren in the cloth have held back on telling the truth that will make them free.
Wow.
And
I agree 100%.
Too many people in positions of influence in politics and business have funded foolishness that enabled or emboldened them to continue to put themselves in a mental bondage. We got to reverse that, man.
Mm. Yeah.
We can do it, and we ought to do it like yesterday.
Right. But you know what really gets me, Reverend Docker?
What's that?
I'm sorry, really. You know
what really gets me?
Now, I'm going back to these ministers. I'm not going to call no name because I don't know whether
they listen
to this or not.
But,
you know, they know who they are. They get around the blacks. They down the police. Talk bad about them. But yet and still, when election time comes, and other time comes, look here, their parking lots are full of police cars. They're in there sitting down eating a dinner or lunch or something.
Right.
For the life of me, I don't understand it. Why? Is something wrong with that picture? You know,
you're
not talking so-called preaching. You know, you're in with the police. You're sitting down, you're breaking bread with them. but yet and still, the same problem that you can complain to your black people about, your congregation about, those problems are going on unsolved. But yet and still, flood your church out with them, breaking bread.
Have you had Christmas dinner, sir?
What you say?
Yes, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Have you watched?
Go ahead, anyone, for.
Have you watched Saints and Sinners, sir? I don't watch it very often because I like the show, but have you watched that?
Yeah. I haven't.
No.
I haven't. Tell us about it. What was that? How is that significant?
For me, it represents something that the church is not supposed to. It represents corrupt lies, deceit. It goes against God to me. And God is not about that. And so I watched it a couple of times, and I chose to discontinue watching, but I got to take this call. I'm waiting on an emergency call, and I'll click back in. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, Pastor Wallace.
But,
Go ahead, Outcast, then we'll go to Pastor Wallace. Go ahead, Outcast.
Yeah, but, you know, this is part of the problem. You know, I remember now, you know, Don, you know, he don't sound angry to me. You know, he just be making points, and he talk things that are true. You know, we had a mayor some years ago. Well, you know, a few years ago when he was running for office, you know, when he was running trying to be mayor. You know what he said about these black people? In the city of Nashville, he said this here. Now he's running for governor now. He stated this. He said he didn't care whether he got the black votes or not because he was going to be mayor anyway, and guess what? He became mayor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he became mayor. You know? But yet and still, you had this minister. He went straight down there in that church. And you know how a person, you know, they reach their hand out to shake your hand and they take their fingers and put it up and push your hand away? This type of handshake that he was down there giving those black folk in that church. I just shook my head. You know?
Okay.
And I'm a whole man.
Okay. Pastor Wallum.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm on a hill called Golgotha. And there's folk down under me saying, if you be who you say you are, come down off that cross. Help me down, man.
Yeah, that's amazing, man, that he just was actually extended an opportunity for something like that to take place, but in the meantime, they had the power to bring himself down if he chose to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because he had the power on who he could call on. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get down with the water down, if you will, word of God that's been tampered with, because it has been tampered with, and that's one of the worst things I think a person can do. And I can only use the example that I know about, and I don't use it as it being good, but back then when I was a fool, when I was tricked, when I was misled, the stuff that I used to do was called pure heroin. I used to love it when it was pure. I didn't like the cut-up stuff, you know.
Okay.
And then if it was cut up, it was watered down. I mean, it had no value to it to me. I didn't care about the money. So what I cared about was that it was going to be pure, always the same. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So if the word of God is being watered down, if the word of God, now I'm not talking about any opinions, I'm talking about the word of God, when it is watered down, it has no substance in it. You understand? Mm. You can, if you have itching ears, you have people that you can do good to, and, you know, they'll be rejoicing in the midst of that. But when you serve the word of God as it is stated, it is pure and always the same. And that means you have to have the wisdom to feed the people what they need in there. And then that way, you know you've done your part. But if you water down the word of God, man, you can be ready. It's not going to have any substance to it because it looks good, it sounds good, and it has all of that to it. But when he says the people honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, that's saying to me that it's watered down. You know, because the tradition of men has made the word of God unaffected. So if the tradition of men have made the word of God unaffected, it sounds like they're tampering with it. That's just what I'm saying, in my opinion. I'm talking about
one
what
second,
it's in the book. And see, when you go on what it says in the book, man, like I have done, I don't do me anymore. I refuse to do me because I know me, I'm going to mislead everybody. But if I follow the instruction, and if it tells me to go out into the world, and I do it, I've done my part. Everybody's not going to go. I understand that. I did not dare ask everybody to go because that's not fair. You understand? But the Word of God, if it gives you the instruction and you inside the church and you say you love God and, you know, God is all this and that and other to you, and then he gives you instructions according to his order and you don't do it, that sounds like disobedient to me. You see? So our community, you know what I mean, shouldn't be charged with what they're doing if the people inside the church is being disobedient to the Word of God. That's just from what I heard. You know, charge her to scatter out in the real world, you know, asking for your help, crying out, you can drive around, look at them like they don't even exist. Man, that's just ludicrous to me from what I hear in the Word of God. Now, if I didn't see it in the Word, I wouldn't say that. I just peeped it in there. You know, he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Laborers are
so,
few. Yes, sir.
What is he talking about? You talking about the people in there with the book in their hand? You know? So it's amazing.
Right.
It's work to be
Pastor, we got another Facebook comment. Go ahead, 8112, then I'll share that Facebook comment. What are we going to say, 8112?
I wanted to respond with that, being as it was, and I respect what Pastor Wallace said at the same time, but I will say this, heartfelt saying this. There's a lot of times when pastors, people of the church that's supposed to guide the church, there are so many people that say they talking under the Spirit and understand this piece. No disrespect to anybody that's doing the will of God, honestly and openly, but however, there's a lot of people in the name of Jesus under false pretense. And what you got, what I was told was, there's going to come a time you can barely recognize the difference between the two. So you better let the church of God be in your heart and your soul. And you better try to do the best you can with what God leads you. He leads me to do that. And I ask him, if you lead me to do this and you want me to do this, then you show me this. And he shows me.
Right.
And I can't just go by man's word alone, because men are who they are. They are human flesh such as myself. You can talk about to me about the divine father all you want to, but I know him personally for myself. Whether I be right or wrong, because I ain't got to go to the building to talk to my father. And when he want me to fall on my knees, as I often have, I'm going. I don't have a choice.
Right.
He's going to break me down, then he me to talking to these people in my household. I ain't in church, but church is in the house. God is in my house. When I don't care if I'm drinking a beer, he's still here. Because be who you are. Don't be no faker, no fraud. And there's a lot of people in church, and no disrespect, but it is disrespect. When you talking about my father, my grandfather, and you disrespecting his holy vow name, you will reap what you sow.
Gotcha. Let me share this Facebook comment.
That's fine.
We need to stop relying on other communities to tell us how to raise our children. Just like we have these movements against police brutality, we need a movement to take our community back and rescue our children. My God.
Man. But see, Reverend Docker, I agree with that statement 100%. This is why I brung up the thing about the pastor and the police, you know, in the church. They're down there breaking bread. But right there in the very neighborhood where that church sits at, that is a destructive neighborhood. But yet and still, your pastor got the police chief, the mayor, and all of them down there in the church. But yet and still, that neighborhood that he in around there is still infested and killing is still going on. Why? What are y'all breaking bread for down there? I mean, what are y'all doing? I mean, that was my question. Which that minister, that so-called pastor, I talk bad to him anyway. Oh, he know me.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Uh-oh.
I call him like I see you. You know?
Right.
I call him
but
like
you know
I
what, Outcast? That's not just where you are. That's all across the country that that dynamic is present. And
even in the country.
Yeah, as the lady is saying here in this comment, we got to realize that the only person, the primary person responsible for raising and saving and securing our children are us. Now, if you wait on somebody else to do it, you lost, and your children going to wind up lost. Because ain't nobody going to love you like you do. You understand?
Yeah.
The songwriter says,
exactly.
Who's going to love you like I do? And they say,
nobody.
Go ahead,
I ain't keep it. I make them sweat.
Yes, well, I
hey, you know what? Hey, well, you know, at the end of the day, I can boldly state that it was my children out there being destructive. I didn't have to beat them. Or anything of that nature. I sit down, I talk to them, and I always try to steer them in the right direction. But again, you got government, and then you got these rebellious children that stated, if you put your hands on me, I'm going to call the police. Do you think that I told my mother some stuff like that? If you hit me, I'm going to call the police on you. Okay? All right.
Back in the day, they ain't doing it like that now.
No, well, no, but the truth is, here's the breakdown, guys, and you all are absolutely right. Generationally, there were some things that when our forefathers couldn't read and couldn't write, many of them, they had good mother wit sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just knew it didn't make sense and wasn't practical. Can I say something? And I love my sister. But if you walk around half naked, why do you expect nobody to look at you like a piece of meat? Help me with this. I'm just saying, these are young men running around with their pants down. I mean, come on now.
Man, no,
I remember growing up
Outcast.
Outcast, we grew up in the projects in Chicago. If you went outside with some holes in your pants or tore up shoes, you're about to get dogged out, man. Now you don't look like you don't care what you look like.
Exactly.
I mean,
you know.
But it's hope. It's hope. That's hope. That's hope. I think a Facebook group caller trying to get me in trouble told me to go ahead and sing. I ain't gonna mess myself up now. I'm already messed up, John. I'm gonna
try to hear you sing just a note.
No. Uh-huh. I thought you loved me, 81-12. I see you don't care nothing
about it. I do. I sing a note even if I ain't got Mm-hmm.
Let me share. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hold up.
Do you remember when we was coming up? We couldn't run around with our pants down our bus like that.
No,
we got
man.
Slapped upside the head.
Man,
you know?
What you talking about? What you
pull
about?
Them pants yeah, up,
ran
you
off
know?
The block.
And we couldn't do that. I remember back in the early 70s, you know, we had the little nylon shorts. You remember the little nylon boxer shorts? The little nylon boxer shorts. We had the little shirt, you know, little
with
T-shirt.
The down the side.
Put the little T-shirt inside the short and then kind of pull the pants down. That was a no-no. That not had a daddy.
Oh, man. Okay, all right.
Well, let me be quiet.
Let me offer a text, Pastor Waller. Proverbs 9 and 10 says very simply, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
That's good.
And then it goes on to say, wait, now, listen. Then it goes on to say, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I wonder if the real answer here is that most people got to learn to be scared of some of the stuff we engage in. We ain't scared enough. What about that, Pastor? We're not even afraid of what God's going to do to us. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's the beauty
that's
of the word. That's why
how you going to be and you ain't scared of what God would do? He's going to bring his wrath down on top of our heads. How you upset and you can't be upset what God can do to you? We got to make what y'all talking about making these kids. We ain't talking about y'all.
8112. I was on the block with some young guys, and neither one of them was over 21. They had pistols down their britches and what have you. You know what the little dude told me as soon as I walked up? I don't want to hear that preacher blank blank. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. You understand what I mean? Here's the truth. Here's the truth. We got babies out there. I said babies, didn't I, Don? Babies out there. Babies out there trying to play grown, and it's causing their own self-destruction. The grown folks, the grown folk are trying to ingratiate themselves in everything but what it's good for, and their babies are out of control. I'm talking about all of it. This is a collective problem. And the pastor told you that judgment begins where, Pastor?
It's going to be at the house, man, of God. I mean, that's what the word is.
Now, if we can't get the whole Baptist church out, where are we going to get it? Talk to me, somebody.
Yeah, if I can't believe in the word, you know what I mean, I don't have a chance. So I'm not going to neglect the word. I'm not going to neglect the word, you understand, over my opinion. Because my opinion, I know, is worth absolutely nothing. But I've seen value in the word of God, though, man. And that, to me, is something that I can say, man, I appreciate today.
Right.
I didn't know it.
Right.
I need a chance to know a little bit about it. So why would I be ashamed of it? Because I was faithful in what I was doing for the devil. I was doing his stuff. I was making sure that whatever he told me to do, I would do it. But now I have made an exchange, and then I should be ashamed of it or to deny that the truth is in what it says in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Make
so
you free?
Free
that wasn't what I was saying, Pastor Wallace. I was praying.
No, listen, if I can get the truth and it make me free, then everything else, it don't have no value in it like the truth does, because I've been lied to for so many years.
Wow.
See, when they take this right here, it's good. Man, I was lied to. It wasn't good.
But how
understand?
About this? Out of all them years you lied to, it came a day, regardless of what you was doing, you can be forgiven for that, because all you got to do is ask and you shall receive if you mean what you're saying. However, there comes a point in everyone's life, even if you feel like you're in darkness, if you fall down to me, and a lot of young people don't accept that, but I've reached a lot of people not being on the same level that they was on, but coming to them wholeheartedly, talking to them as they speaking out. Understand this. It has not been an easy journey, and no one told anybody that it's going to be. We were lied to in our bracket for so many birds and bees that do this and do that. That's a lie. The store came from it. The store didn't drop nothing off on my doorstep. Believe that.
Right.
So therefore, my point is to you guys, and I'm just, I know people say, well, that's the women are your mothers.
Women are your mothers,
and guarantee you, if your mother, where we come, the generation we came from, your mother, as he said, was your backbone. She's still a man backbone.
Okay.
If she becomes the woman that she's supposed to be as a mother.
8112, let me get Facebook back in. Comment. The church has been assimilated into culture, and I think they're talking about the dominant culture. Problem with that, Pastor Waller, is that when the culture dictates to the church is not being a light to the culture, to the world. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
I think that's accurate. Yeah, I think that's accurate. You know what I mean? It's like the world is telling the church what to do with no instruction from the church. You understand?
Wow.
A lot of them are doing that. And so when they do that, that means the world goes up into the church and offers them what they have to offer. And if the church says, okay, we'll receive you, which means if I came into the church, for an example, and I offer the church what I have to offer, which is absolutely no good at all, and they connect to what I have, I'm getting ready to mislead the whole church because I don't have no truth in me. You see, I don't have no truth in me. But if the church teaches me, I'm going up in there. I'm afraid. I went up into the church, you know what I mean? I wasn't afraid of nothing in the street. But I went up in the church as a visitor. I was afraid. You know what to do. So I'm going to guide me. You see what I'm saying? And then when they gave me the information, I learned how to do it. I said, okay, well, it makes sense. I still wasn't hitting it. I didn't hear that in the street. I know that. So we do need to give the word of the instructions and let them understand that it's okay to follow the truth. And it's not going to do anything but make you free. So let's look up with the truth and be all right with it. But are we afraid to take it to the streets, or do we know the truth? Are we playing church? I mean, what's going on? Something's happening. You know, the doors are swung open every time they open it. They have, offerings to be taken up. I think they're faithful in doing that. You know what I mean? So what do you do when you get, the word says more blessed to give than it is to receive. So give people some instructions. Give them things that would benefit, that would keep the communities around. And I think it's a beautiful thing if they would do that. It's a few dollars in life. You know, you read
can
Mr. Docker.
Yes, go ahead,
right
quickly.
When I was home last time in Tennessee, Bush and Obama had came down here, the younger Bush and Obama came, and my sister Sherry said, Don, you coming down? And I said, no, I wasn't coming down here with Bush and Obama. But when I got home, what amazed me was we were voting at that time, and I was leaving going to Nashville with Willis's wife, Mary. And I looked over at Jackson Chapel, and I didn't see none of us voting. So I picked up the telephone and called Mr. Halliburton. And I'll never forget what he said. He said those preachers took that faith-based money.
Right.
Okay.
Yay.
Uh-oh.
John
Heidelberg. I was going to say this, that Pastor Waller, let me know if I'm in error here. But the truth of the matter is we're not suggesting that there's something inherently wrong with the house of God. But those who represent it must make sure that they truthfully and hopefully teach the word such that it can be applied and useful in people's lives. Today in 2018, just hollering and screaming at people is not going to help them much. It's some people in desperate need of direct instruction and for you to be brutally honest with them sometimes. Okay?
That's right. Got him.
If you see me walking outside with my right shoe on my left foot and my left shoe on my right foot, please stop me.
Thank you.
Don't let me keep going down the street looking crazy.
Thank you.
You know that ain't in order, right?
No, it's not.
So if you love me, that's what Jesus told Peter. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? Peter run that game. He said, Peter, if you love, feed my sheep. And they'll live. I didn't come to preach, but I felt my help right there. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? We have work to do, and it's not saying because we're pulling the cover off you, don't mean we don't love you. We're putting the cover off so you can get out there, get out that bed, and put some clothes on your neck and behind. So everybody see you on the cover. Amen, Walt. Here's the last Facebook comment. We got about 6 minutes. I think another issue is not just my child doesn't exist in a vacuum. He has to interact, the writer is saying, with your child too, where it remains on all houses, not just one. Now, we got 6 minutes. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to do part two, and I'm going to start right there with that comment. On part two. Open mic. Now, what she's saying, she just threw a fireball in the house now.
Okay.
What she's suggesting is you can do everything right with your child, Outcast, But if mine is out of
That's
order,
right.
when they get out to the playground, it's going to be a fight.
Mm.
Now,
well,
so everybody needs to be in order, don't they?
Yes, right. Yeah. It does have to be in order. Correct. I agree with that 100%. But you know what, though? Culture. Let me tell you something about culture. You know, it's all about money now. Tell you what, you know, now, I like what Reverend Wallace said. I like what Reverend Wallace said. I was reading a book once. I forget the name of the book. But listen to me. This guy stated if he walked up in a church with a lamb, people would look at him like he's crazy. But if he had money, they would be happy. Going back to touching, going back, picking back on what Rebel Wallace said and things of that nature. Take a lamb up in church and say, hey, this is all I have to offer. And they'll think you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, going back to Heidelberg and Dunn, going back to Heidelberg and Dunn, now they done took that money or whatever they done did, and boom, the mouse is gone, man. You know,
man,
I mean, you got the whole police force in your church, but yet you got tons of crime surrounding your church. What's wrong with that picture? Ain't it done? Done. Tell me what's wrong with that picture.
Hey, Outcast, I'm bringing that back Thursday night, man. Y'all throwing blows in the ass. The last of the show. I got 4 minutes. Outcast, let me get everybody else to give a final word before we cut out of here. Pastor Waller, you know where we're going next, where we're going Thursday. Great conversation, guys. Great conversation. We'll bring that right back about the power of the community. We kind of talked about that before. But 8112, final thought before we get out of here? Right quick, we got 3 minutes.
Okay, that's fine with me. I'm ready to get off anyway. My point is...
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Oh, that's like peanut butter and jelly, but however my
all
point
right,
is,
all right.
I respect, right. I don't receive everything, I receive it, but I'm free to disagree, and I'm going to let that go.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being right here on Talk Straight. We appreciate you, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Done. A final thought there?
Oh, it's all beautiful, Mr. Dockery. I'm glad that the community of Nashville, the sister from Peoria, Illinois, I'm glad every one of you dialoguing about this. And that's the reason I said, if nobody going to teach we the ones got to love and teach our children. That's why
I'm at. We're coming back with that, Don. Sister dropped a bomb on us there about the need for everybody to be in order in our community. That's a deep one right there. That's what we're going to open up our open mic with Thursday night. But thank you so much, man. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us there. And with that, we're going to Pastor Waller, you want to bring us home, man? We got two minutes here, 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, amen. We thank God for everyone that was tuned in, for those that was listening and had comments and questions, and for everybody that sat in and had something to say. I like to say on what made known of according to the scripture that you shared, and it said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if a person don't know what the beginning is, like myself, I would love to connect with the beginning of finding out what the will of the Lord is. And once we do that, I believe the communities can and will do a lot better. You know, the word of God said, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, always touching and agreeing. Yeah, he said, would be in the midst of us. So there's always including versus in excluding him. And I think everything can work itself out.
Right.
That's keep going.
All right. Well, listen, I hate for us to go, but we got to. We got a few seconds here. But listen, join us at 7 o'clock p.m. this coming Thursday night. We will pick this right back up. And people all over the world, let's start a love train. And we can get somewhere.
Yeah.
This is Reuben Dockery, your host for Talk Straight. Pastor Wallace, our co-host. We'll see you Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Another episode of Talk Straight.